The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to take you into the locker room with Des Clark, along with co-hosts Paul Fresh Clark and Lester Scudder Davis, to tell you like it really is. Although they may get a little unruly at times, it's always sportsmanlike conduct. So let's get into it.
Hello, once again, I want to welcome you to the best internet radio or TV sports show that's on at this time every Tuesday, 5 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock Eastern, and 3 o'clock Pacific. And you know why we the best show? It's because I have the best co-host. I want to introduce you to Paul Fresh Clark, my co-host, and Lester Scudder Davis.
Hello, America.
Des Clark, and you're not listening to Sportsmanlike Conduct. If you want to get into the conversation, give us a call at 1-888-346-9144. Gentlemen, how you doing today?
Everything
is
lovely.
Okay. I know for the last couple of shows, all we've been talking about is football, and more football, and we're going to talk more football today. But just want to throw a little change up in there today. I want to start with the NBA playoffs. It's been a pretty good playoffs thus far. I don't know if it's going to match last season's playoffs, but it's been real good so far. Let's start off in the West. Let's talk about first the L.A. Lakers and the Utah Jazz. L.A. Lakers just been able to close it out. Did y'all see L.A. sweeping them, or did it go the way that you thought it was, and what do you think L.A. is going from here? I throw it to you, Scudder.
I felt like the Lakers did about what they was going to do, because when you look at it, Utah was an 8 seed, but really Utah could have been a 2 seed. So I think the Lakers handled them pretty good, but the Lakers still got a few problems because they're losing these big leads. So I know that's a big concern for Phil Jackson and the team, but I still say they're the toast of the West.
What you got for me, Fresh?
I like what I figured the Lakers would do just what they did, but I'm kind of looking ahead. 4-1, you know how they beat Utah. That's pretty much what I thought. But I'm kind of looking ahead to round two. If Houston take care of their business the next couple of nights, the Lakers and Houston in round two, I'm looking forward to that matchup with Yao Ming. Even though you know they traced from a Grady list. But Houston kind of pulled it together, so I'm looking forward a little bit in my crystal ball to Lakers and Houston, which would be an interesting series. But Lakers probably take it the same way, 4-1.
Hey, check this out, Fresh. Listen, Houston don't have a chance against the Lakers. Simple being, you got to be physical against the Lakers. You got to bang them around and pull them and grab them. And a team like Utah, you know, to drag them down. See, Houston ain't got nobody like that, besides Artest, and Lakers might sweep them.
Well, that's what I want to see. I want to see Kobe and Artest. You know, that's always good for the media hype, because Artest is going to make Kobe bring out his A game. So don't look for any 27, 28 points a game from Kobe. I think Kobe going to light him up, and then, you know, and in Laker fashion. I'm talking about 30 points or better each night.
I agree with that, because one thing about Kobe, he the type of player, when you rise him up,
exactly.
When you wake that beast up, you got trouble on your hands. I pity the fool.
So what I'm hearing from you guys, without me even asking about it, I guess y'all think the Houston and Portland series is over. Because Portland now, they got a nice, good young team, and you're probably right. They probably not going to come back now from this 3-1 deficit. But when you look at the nucleus that they have out there with Brandon Roy, you have Greg Oden, and then you have LaMarcus Aldridge out there. You throw in those three people, they have a team to build. They have the three guys to build a team around, and I look for them to do stuff in the next year or two, challenge for that Western Conference final.
Right, because the Lakers sure don't want to play them.
But y'all telling me right now that you could forget about Houston at this point this year.
Yeah, you can't forget about Houston. And don't get me wrong now. it won't be a great matchup for us team-wise. When I say matchup in an entertaining series, I'm talking about the one-on-one matchup. Get your popcorn ready. Kobe, Artest. Artest's not going to back down, we all know. And Kobe, being the great offensive and defensive player he is, Kobe just going to light him up because he's just that great on the offensive side of the ball.
And I agree with you, Fresh. And Portland just, the only thing they got going against them this season, they're just young. I mean, like, and you're right, Dez, in the future, that's one of the teams to really look out for in the future. If they keep this nucleus together and they continue to work hard, they're going to have to be dealt with. But this season, they just too young.
I agree with you on that. That's the only thing, like you said, that's holding them back. I think with a little bit more seasoning, this has been their first playoffs. They didn't make the playoffs last year, did they? They was right down the outside.
They was right down the outside.
About like a
right.
game, I believe.
Right. They were right down the outside.
So, you know, with this year, the experience that they're getting in the playoffs playing against a real tough team in Houston, although they are the number four seed, so they play some good ball during the regular season, I think with this season and in the playoffs next year, they'll be a team to reckon with.
Right.
Now, looking at the Denver Nuggets and the New Orleans series, Denver is putting it on these boys right now, especially with, that 58-point victory last night.
Wow.
I believe New Orleans can go ahead and fold up their 10 and take it on in.
Yeah.
Wow. Chauncey Billups, man, is a force to be reckoned with back in his hometown. I think he really put Denver on the map back in the West. What Chauncey is doing on the court for those guys, something that Iverson couldn't do, is bring that leadership. And, he's doing it. You know, mine is the 100 tattoos, so big up the Billups for that.
Yeah, so they. You know what? Denver, especially when Iverson was there, they had to have the most tattoos per person in the NBA.
Right, I don't know if it's a basketball team or a rock band.
Hey, I don't know what you call it, but you know what? You mentioned something there that I don't think went without notice. When they made that trade with Detroit to get Billups out there, I think that put them over the top because usually Denver was a team. Yeah, they're getting the playoffs, but you really didn't expect anything from them.
Right.
Once they got Billups, I think they became a legitimate contender for L.A. out in the West.
Well, I agree with you, Dez, because I think, me personally, I feel like Denver is the only team that can challenge the Lakers in that West this season. And what was Joe Dumars thinking to allow Chauncey Billups to get away from his team? He was the only thing holding those malcontents together over there in Detroit. I mean, what was Joe smoking? My goodness.
Well, I tell you what, looking ahead again, I'm looking forward to Denver and Dallas in round two, man. I don't think Dallas will have any trouble with the Spurs. Tim Duncan, you know, he's been had a long, great run in the NBA for a while. His path is coming to an end, man. Dallas has finally got their number. Dallas is up 3-1. They play 9:30 tonight on the East Coast. I just look forward to Dallas and Denver. But I think that Denver, with the addition of Billups, Denver will probably beat Dallas in about six.
Just speaking of that Dallas on Spurs series, I believe that Dallas, they're playing the best ball right now at the end of the season. One thing about Dallas, they were right there towards the end of the season fighting with Phoenix for that eighth spot. And all of a sudden they won a bunch of games and they jumped all the way up to six. So they're playing their best ball right now. With Jason Terry winning the Sixth Man of the Year award, I believe Dallas might be a team that could be a Cinderella story this year. The Spurs, on the other hand, they got a couple players hurt, so I think this is the end of the dynasty for the Spurs.
Hey, Dez, like we were saying about Portland being too young, it's the other end of the pendulum for San Antonio. Too old. They have gotten too old. Tell you what, me, Scudder, can go out there right now and score 12 to 14 for San Antonio.
It is. That's just that's what we want to hear. What would Scudder go out there and do? Yeah.
All right,
so that's the West. And I don't think I need to ask who y'all think is going to come out the West. I think it's a consensus that L.A. is going to come out the West.
Right.
Going to the East, I don't think it's a battle about who's going to come out the East. I think we probably all think that Cleveland is going to come out the East, and if you don't, I want to know what you're smoking.
So. Well, Cleveland, you know, they swept Boston, Chicago. Cleveland swept Boston.
Cleveland swept Detroit.
Swept Detroit. I'm sorry about that. Chicago and Boston is tied 2-2. They play tonight. Rondo will probably have to do another triple-double for Boston to win again. I don't think that's happening. 76ers play the Magic tonight at 7:30. That's 2-2. I don't understand. You know, the Magic, they spent all of that money on a 3-point shooter, but Turkoglu, he's taking the last shot, which he finally hit one. I was excited about that. Juwan Howard, we got to get that guy to shoot some free throws, man. I just hate the Shaq attack that, you know, the Hacker Shaq that's going on at the end of the game with Juwan Howard. They beating him up at the end of the game, and he's not knocking down the free throws. And Atlanta, with Dwayne Wade, they're 2-2. They play tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. And I don't know what Bibby was thinking last night and the rest of the Atlanta Falcons when they let the Heat get back in that game at, what, 46-42 at halftime, had them by 20. And the Heat went on that late first half run to close out the first half, like a 16-point swing. That was terrible on Atlanta's behalf. Two 4-point plays?
Hey, Fresh, you know the NBA is a league of runs, man. You can have a 20-point lead, and 2 or 3 minutes later, you look, my God, it's down to single digits.
Was up by 20, and they went into the half 46-42. They gave up 2 4-point plays. I think that's the first in the NBA.
Well, going back to that Cleveland series, I don't think Detroit ever had a chance. Like I said, the worst trade this year, probably the worst trade in this decade that was made by Joe Dumars, I don't think they had a chance. The most exciting series in the playoffs right now got to be Chicago and Boston, with Ray Allen throwing those daggers all in Chicago, but you got young Ben Gordon over there throwing daggers back at Boston.
Wow.
So you got to agree with me. This is the best series that's going right now.
Yeah, it is. I'm loving that series.
Series are tied up 2-2. This has to be the best series. I mean, just watching Gordon on the court. But what might be more entertaining is watching Kevin Garnett off the court with the suit on. My goodness, he's dropping the F-bomb every other word every time Ray Allen drop a three. As you can just look at the camera when they put it on Garnett. I mean, if I didn't know any better, I think Garnett had the green jersey on up under the suit.
Hey, and the best thing about it is just the facial expressions. I mean, You like to see a guy like that because you know that he cares about it. You know, some guys, they're not playing, they go ahead and mail it in, but you can see that he cares about
the
team winning, and he's out there with them trying to support them the best he can.
Yes,
right,
he is.
And it's happened, too. It's happened. They're feeding off of that.
Right. The 76ers series. Now,
wow.
I had Orlando going in winning 4-1. I didn't think 76ers had a chance. They came out and beat the Orlando Magic the first game, and then Orlando rebounded. And this series has been going back and forth with each one winning a home game. I think what is hurting Orlando right now is that their 3-point shooting is down, and Hedo Turkoglu didn't stand up until last night and make any shots. If he could get back to what he was doing in the regular season, I think Orlando go ahead and take these next two games.
I agree with you, Dad. Let me tell you something about Philly. Philly is one of those slow it down, grind it, muddy, dirty, nasty teams that they don't do anything especially well, but they do what they do well is get you out of your game. And then once they get you out of your game, they just stick around. Then all of a sudden, Iguodala hit a big shot or that kid, Thaddeus, what's his name, Thaddeus Young?
Yeah, Thaddeus Young.
Hit a big shot somewhere down, and the next thing you know, you beat. So that's a team you got to get on top of and stay on top of.
Right, and the second best series in the NBA right now, in the NBA playoffs, Miami and Atlanta Hawks. I almost said the Falcons.
You got
they've been
right.
Going wide to wide for a couple games, and they had 2 blowouts. But if Dwayne Wade is on, I think he could carry Miami himself past the Hawks. He don't have a lot of help. The Hawks got more of a team, but I still see Miami winning this one in 7.
You know, Wade kind of tweaked his back. They say he was having spasms, so we got to keep an eye on that.
Well, you know what that means. That just means that if he come out and light it up, he's just more of a hero.
Right.
I got a problem with basketball players, and we might get into this a little later. I hate when they be getting carried off the court for a sprained ankle or something like that. But that's another subject for another day. Hey. You're listening to Sportsmanlike Conduct with my co-host, Lester Scudder Davis and Paul Fresh Clark. I'm Des Clark, and we'll be right back in a few minutes.
Your internet flagship station for sports. Voice America Sports.
L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L- What does it take to have a healthy, happy relationship? A marriage that lasts forever? In today's society, does anyone really have the right answers? Just look at the tabloids and you'll see that the fairy tale relationships are missing the key elements of happily ever after. Dr. Terry Orbuch, also known as the Love Doctor, brings you not only the most current findings, but experts on sex, friendship, parenting, marriage, divorce, love, and work relationships. Dr. Terry gives you realistic tips and advice and the research to back it up. The Love Doctor airs live bright and early Monday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. on the East Coast on the Voice America channel. Listen up, America. The doctor is in.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it. So call us right now. 888-459-4825. 888-459-4825. 459-4825. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, call us now and see how we can help you. 888-459-4825. 888-459-4825. 888-459-4825. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Looking for a good time? We've got a show that will give you a wild ride. This show will make you feel good.
And it's not even bad for you.
You need your time to let loose. It's time for a feel-good party. Pull up to the computer, mix yourself a drink, and turn up the speakers. Happy Hour is here. Every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. It's called the biggest radio show in the world. Hosted by international personality and pundit Michael DeMarco.
You don't know what's coming next.
The biggest radio show in the world on Voice America.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Sportsmanlike Conduct with Des Clark, Paul Fresh Clark, and Lester Scudder Davis. If you want in on the action, please call into the show at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to Sportsmanlike Conduct.
Once again, you're back to the best internet radio or TV sports show on every Tuesday at 5 o'clock Central Time. We got a host on the phone, a guest on the phone, from ESPN. I want to introduce my man Jeff Dickerson. We've been doing some stuff together, and I'm just glad you gave us a call so we could talk a little NFL draft.
See, Des, you're the host. See, I'm the guest. You know what I'm saying? I got to take some cues from you right now, buddy. But it's great to talk to you, and Fresh and Scudder, great to talk to you guys, too.
All right.
But, you know, from the times that we worked together, I was always the guest, and you was always the host. So that's how I got my words mixed up there. So I got to get used to this new relationship that we got for this show.
This is weird because usually I'm the one asking Des all the questions and trying to get the answers out of him, and now it's like it's vice versa. So it is kind of weird, but I'm sure you'll do a great job, buddy.
Let's play a little role reversal then. Let's talk about Chicago Bears. How do you feel the Chicago Bears did in the draft as far as meeting the needs and getting the best available players at the time?
You know what, Des, guys? I think they did a pretty good job considering there was no first-round pick because, of course, that went to Denver for Jay Cutler. And then the Bears decided to trade out of the second round and pick up an additional third and an additional fourth. So I think when you don't have the early first-day picks, it's not like you can expect the draft guys who are going to jump right in and start. But what I think Jerry Angelo did nicely was he took some guys that will at least provide some competition. And, Des, you know this. I mean, complacency will kill a football team. You got to have young guys there that are hungry, kind of maybe nipping at the heels of the veterans. I think that makes everyone play better football. So, you know, they addressed the defense, which I think was the main theme of this draft. I mean, offensively, as you guys know, with Cutler and some signings on the offensive line, you know, bringing back Kevin Jones. I think the Bears did a lot of work with the offense, you know, via free agency in the trade with Denver. But the defense, I think, had to get a little stronger, a little deeper. And I think after the 9 picks were made on Sunday, I think the Bears are a better football team now.
I think they did a good job by trading down also and getting some other quality picks in the 3rd and 4th round. But the 2nd, 3rd round pick that we picked, Juan Iglesias, I think he's going to be a key cog into how far we go this year, his development, because everybody knows that we're hurting on the offensive side of the ball with receiver. So it was a must that we pick a receiver in the draft. Do you think we picked the right receiver for our system to get us to that next level?
I do, Dez, because I think you've got the guy that can stretch the field in Hester. I mean, you've got two very good tight ends in yourself and Greg Olsen, and don't discount what kind of role you guys are going to play in the passing game this year. I think Earl Bennett, I think we have to see what happens. Now, clearly, as you know, Jay Cutler's done quite a sales job on Earl to the coaching staff and to the front office, so he's going to get a great spot, a great chance at least to contribute this year. But I think what Iglesias gives you is a receiver with good hands. Hey, he's not the fastest guy in the world, but don't get seduced by the stopwatch. That's overrated sometimes. He's a physical guy. He runs good routes. You know, again, good hands, could be a good blocker. And I really do think that, you know, based on his numbers at Oklahoma, and they run a pro-style system, he's not a spread offense, you know, type receiver. He ran that pro system at Oklahoma. You know, he was very productive. So, yeah, I think at 99, I think he was the best possible guy on the board you could have gotten at that point this weekend.
Like I said, I think he's going to be a real good pick. And I know you got to run, Jeff, so I'm going to keep this short. I just got one more thing. DJ Moore, I've seen this guy play in person, actually against my brother in Boston College, a guy that played offense and defense, a great athlete, didn't have the fastest 40 time, but I believe this guy right here is going to come in and provide depth to the cornerback position. And probably here in a couple of years, depending on how things shake out with the people that we got, he could be that 2nd or 3rd corner.
Yeah, Des, you know, when I was doing my research on DJ Moore, most people had him pegged as a 2nd or 3rd round guy. So for him to fall to the, you know, later in the draft to the Bears, I think that was a real testament to how maybe he was overlooked by some teams. And you're right. I think the options he gives you in the return game, I think is very important, because you never know how long Devin's going to be returning punts. I mean, he's number one wide receiver. You know, maybe ultimately he gets phased out of that role. I think Danielle Manning is going to be a great kickoff return guy this year, but he's a free agent after 2009. And then, yeah, you know, he's a physical guy, DJ Moore. He's bigger. I mean, he's only 5'9", but he's almost 200 pounds, so the guy can handle himself, certainly, on the field. And, yeah, I mean, hey, another guy that just gives you competition. You know, we'll see what happens with Vasher and Corey Graham this year. You know, Peanut, of course, we hope he's back and healthy and everything. But I think he's another guy who really fallen that far was kind of a steal for the Bears. And I would think he has a great chance to make a contribution, at least maybe in special teams this year, if nothing else.
Give Jerry Angelo a grade.
Oh, I think because of the Cutler trade, Dez, I think you got to give him B-plus to an A-minus. I think it's been a great offseason for the Bears. I really do. I mean, you guys were 9-7 last year, just missed the playoffs. I think you're a better football team now, and that's what a GM has to do, at least put you in a position where you guys can be competitive. And I think if guys stay healthy, knock on wood, you'll be a playoff team this year.
Jeff, just like always, very dependable, coming with all the knowledge. I appreciate you giving us a call, Jeff. And don't be a stranger, man. Anytime you want to call, give me a call, and I'd love to have you on again.
All right, Dez. Fresh Scott, you guys are the best. We'll talk soon, okay?
Okay, Jeff.
Appreciate
take
it,
care.
Jeff. This is Jeff Dixon from ESPN Sports Radio here in Chicago, ESPN 1000 Radio. Me and Jeff worked this year doing a radio show every Tuesday, so I appreciate Jeff coming on. But to continue with the draft, first, let's talk about your team down there in Tampa. How do you think they did with the draft?
Well, if I had to give them a grade, I'll probably give them a B-minus. But the number one thing that the Bucs did do was go out and draft a quarterback with that number one pick, Josh Freeman, quarterback from Kansas State. Kid 6'6", 240-something pounds. Josh Freeman should come in, be able to compete with Leftwich, and probably could be a starter.
And the other 10 quarterbacks you got down there?
Say that again.
Say left within the other 10 quarterbacks you have down there?
Yeah, exactly. So somebody's got to go. I don't know who's going to be the odd man out. But the Bucs did pick Freeman, and the fans have been asking about the Bucs drafting a quarterback with that number one pick, with that first-round draft pick for years. Now they finally did it. They have their own quarterback to groom instead of trying to get a guy in free agency. But I was real happy with the 6th-round pick the kid E.J. Biggers out of Western Michigan. He's a cornerback, and he's 5'11", 180 pounds. I think that he'll probably be the name that you'll hear in years to come outside of Freeman, only because, again, he went to Western Michigan, but he's from the crib. I love to look for players that go elsewhere, sort of like yourself, Dez, go elsewhere and play college football and find out later on down the pipeline that he's from Florida, he's from Miami. And this kid was Dade County Player of the Year coming out of high school, so that says a lot. E.J. Bickers, about 5'11", he could possibly be a replacement for the cornerback Rondae Barber. If he can get up on the Barber's wing and learn, I think he'll do good things.
Now, the question is, Josh Freeman, was he worthy of the number 17 pick? A lot of people had him going in the second round, and they actually traded up and gave up some picks to go and get Josh Freeman. Do you think that he was it a reach or was it a good pick?
That's yet to be seen. I'm not going to put myself or him out on the limb this early and say it's still yet to be seen. But Josh Freeman, I think personally that he'll turn out to be a good quarterback. And he's coming from a program that threw it around a lot. He started as a freshman. This guy, he's played in a lot of games, even though he left early as a junior. You got Coach Jags, came over from Boston College, the offensive coordinator. He was there with Brett Favre in Green Bay. This guy, you saw what he did with Matt Ryan. That's now with Atlanta Falcons. So I'm interested to see what Coach Jags is going to do with Josh Freeman. If he can do the same thing he did with Matt Ryan, hey, watch out, Tampa Bay. We can get those season tickets back up. But, you know, the Bucks, I give them a B-.
Scudder, we got to talk about your Cowboys. No first, second-round picks. You ask me, I don't think they had a lot of impact in the draft, but you tell me what you think your Dallas Cowboys did in the draft.
Man, this is going to be an interesting season, Dez, Fresh. Because let me tell you something now. As I look at my team, on offense, we stayed kind of pat. We're going with our receivers. We got Roy, that's the number one receiver. We got the all-pro tight end with Witten. The offensive line looked pretty good. We drafted a kid called Robert Brewster, big offensive tackle out of Ball State, to help to shore up the offensive line because Flozell, the hotel's getting kind of old. But the line looks pretty good. The running backs, as you know, we got one of the best 1-2, I think a 1-2-3 punch with Marin Barber, Felix Jones, and Tanard Choice. So we got some good running backs. And so I think the team really looked at the defense. And the defense, I think, got stronger through free agency. You know, we got rid of Roy Williams. So then we brought in Jarrell Sensabaugh, so he's going to take his place.
And Big Igor to replace what you lost to the New York Giants.
Right. And then at our linebacker, you know, we let Zach Thomas go, but we brung in Keith Brookins. I think that's an upgrade, me personally. This is a name I want to throw out there, and I want America, if you like the Cowboys, listen to this name. Mike Mickens, cornerback out of Cincinnati. This kid was tooted as an All-American when the season started. He led the nation in interception, was a track superstar in high school. His speed, got very good quickness. How he fell to the seventh round, I don't understand it. But I think this kid, if he plays up to his potential, he's going to be a steal, he's going to be a surprise. I'm looking for him to go straight in and challenge at the other cornerback position, the other side of Terrence Newman. So I want America to remember that name, Mike Mickens.
Tell me this, Scudder, if you had to do it all over again, would you trade your second-round pick for Roy Williams?
Yeah. Yes, I would.
Okay. Saying that, I hope Roy Williams goes in and he does what he was doing in Detroit, because if he doesn't, you're going to have a lot of people mad at Roy Williams this year. And if the offense don't do good, you know, it's always got to be a scapegoat in Dallas, and I think he's the man that's standing right in front right now to be that scapegoat if the offense don't do well.
Yeah.
You're listening to Sportsmanlike Conduct with my co-host Lester Scudder Davis. Paul Fresh Clark, if you want to get in on the conversation, dial 1-888-346-9144. We'll be right back with you in a couple minutes.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds Bart.
Lay the bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Self-leadership is more important than corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in self-success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now. Brought to you by Waste Management. Every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Radio by George is a lifestyle program dedicated to improving the lives of listeners by focusing on the holistic growth of their mind, body, and spirit. Host Eddie George shares his life experiences as well as the experiences of his guest commentators and experts with the listening audience to focus them toward reaching their personal and professional goals. Tune in every Monday afternoon at 1 p.m. PST, 4 p.m. EST to Radio by George on the Voice America channel and learn more from the life experiences of a man who went from being a somewhat unruly kid in the streets of Philadelphia to a retired professional athlete who has become a role model for not only young people, but for businessmen and women globally. Plan to spend your Monday afternoons with Eddie George and his empowering talk radio show, Radio by George. That's every Monday at 1 p.m. PST, right here on the Voice America channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Sportsmanlike Conduct with Des Clark, Paul Fresh Clark, and Lester Scudder Davis. If you want in on the action, please call into the show at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to Sportsmanlike Conduct.
You're listening to Sportsmanlike Conduct. I'm your host, Des Clark, with co-host Paul Fresh Clark and Lester Scudder Davis. Before we get back into the draft, gentlemen, let's go out to the phone line. Let's go out to the phone lines. We got D-Man. D-Man, you with us?
I am all over this show. You know I won't miss one. You know what I mean?
I hear you. I appreciate it.
Hey, listen, you guys are blowing up. What did you think about the draft? Chicago, man, you guys have got to be getting ready to get your ring. You got a fight going on there in Green Bay. You're probably going to have a fight in Atlanta and fight in Philadelphia. But I just really believe in the Chicago Bears defense, and I really believe in Jay Cutler. And I think you guys are headed that way.
See, man, let me ask you this. Where are you from?
I am. Actually, my dad was in the Air Force, so I pretty much grew up all over the place. So I'm a big-time Steelers fan. Right now I'm living in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you wasn't a homer and you was just
no
feeling good for Chicago because you live here.
No, not at all. Like I said, football is what I love to talk about. It's what I do. If you could check out my show on football.com, check that out.
Okay.
Tell you what, you're going to see some great things. We got a promo going on about Voice America. It should be on the show in about the next couple of days. So I'm giving all you players some shout-outs because this is where we should be going to get all the real deal scoop, you know what I mean?
From the players themselves.
From the players themselves. I don't know why we try to get it second fiddle, you know what I mean? It's like trying to be a doctor and you're needing a doctor and going to talk to a lawyer. I need a doctor. Well, why are you talking to a lawyer, my friend?
Let me ask you this, D-Man, since you follow the draft. What do you think about the Oakland Raiders?
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. Like I said, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and Pittsburgh and Oakland, they go back and long ways, and you know, they had some battles. Here's the deal about Al Davis. I love Al Davis for what he was able to do for the young black athlete back in the day, along with Lamar Hunt. But that being said, somebody has got to take the steering wheel away from this guy. I just don't think he did his team justice. I'll deal with the first pick. I'll deal with Bay. But coming second round, picking up a seventh round pick, I don't a guy who should have went in the seventh round.
Even a free agent.
Yeah, Michael. Yeah, I mean, take, I mean, if I could run a 40 in 4.0, does that mean I'm a football player?
Lester trying to get his down to 14, so on the Raiders to pick him up next year.
Buddy, I get hurt thinking about running a 40 faster than 7.5. Okay, so I'm in no hurry to get anywhere that fast.
All right. Hey, you got anything else for us, D-Man?
My man, I love your show. You guys keep going on, and we're going to keep giving you some love on football.com. Keep making it happen, my man. I'm going to sit there and see if I can flood Voice America with some serious listeners.
All right. Hey, I appreciate the call, and keep calling back.
Okay, my man. Be
all
blessed.
Right,
good luck.
If anybody else want to get in on the action, you call 1-888-346-9144. Now, just talking about the Raiders, Lester, what all the Raiders out there doing? They drafted the third best receiver at number 7, and then, like D-Man said, they draft Mike Mitchell, a guy who nobody's seen coming in the first day.
Just like D-Man said, it's all Al. D-Man's right. Al just got to give it up, man, because, you know, he's got this fascination with speed. I mean, when I was in high school, I was running a 3.940, but I couldn't catch. So, I mean, the speed didn't do me no good. You got to have football players, man. And my coach told me, he said, Scudder, you running a real good time, son, but you got to catch the ball. You got to be a football player. And when I finally learned that, I became a good football player. So,
Al just needs
some more help, somebody to help him make some decisions, man.
But once you became a football player, I guess you wasn't running as fast, so that kind of hurt you.
No, I slowed down. I went to a 4.2 then because, you know, I put on a little more weight. I got in the weight room, and that slowed me up a little bit, and I gained a little weight. I went from 110 to 130.
All right. Now, I believe this is what a lot of teams would have done if you was projected to be the first pick. They would have traded down like the Patriots did, the Browns did, Cowboys, 49ers, and the Seahawks. Why did all these teams trade down in the draft? Did they think it wasn't no talent, or they could get better value in the late rounds? First, what you got for me?
I think the first comment you made, I think that the talent level was down this year in the draft with a lot of players coming out early, the senior talent not being as up to par as years in the past. A lot of teams chose to trade down because they felt like the players that they had on their draft board would still be available, and other teams will kind of address their needs. So it was a good year to move down and kind of stockpile those draft picks for later years. So the 2010 draft should be very interesting with a lot of kids coming in early, a lot of juniors, and quite a few seniors that should come in and be projected first-round draft picks.
I think out of all the teams that went down in the draft, the Patriots and the Browns really did the best job because, especially the Patriots, they was able to pick up a couple second-round picks. I think they had like 4 second-rounders or something like that. That's unheard of in the draft. And they was able to come and pick up good quality players also. So they did themselves just, and like you said, Fresh, next year they picked up some drafts for next year. A lot of teams did that. But I think just with not that much elite talent like in past drafts, like guys
right.
who you knew that you couldn't miss on, I think that was the reasons why a lot of these teams – went from high first-round draft picks and just went back. For one, the pay scale for these rookies up at that level is so ridiculous now. I don't think teams like, especially the Browns, wanted to pay somebody that type of money who they didn't feel that good about.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with you on that. Yeah. I agree. Economics had a lot to do with that, man.
Well, I tell you what, back to the Oakland Raiders, I think their fourth-round draft pick, Lewis Murphy, probably paying out to be better than Darius Haywood Bay in the long run anyway. Bay, he has the 40 time, but I believe Lewis Murphy, he would be a polished route runner. He's more of a polished receiver at this point in time that can come in and make an immediate impact. And Darius Haywood Bay probably going to, you know, return some kickoff returns. But, hey, I wouldn't rule Lewis Murphy out on any of this stuff.
Now, talk about some of the first-round talent that dropped out of the first round. I don't know if it's because people didn't like him or it's just the way that the draft went where a team that may have needed him may have had a greater need, so they dropped that way. But you look at guys like James Laurinaitis, Eben Britton, Ray Maluga, Darius Butler, and the guy who I thought was the steal of the draft for the Panthers, Everett Brown. Those guys was bona fide first-round draft picks that all dropped into the second round. Why do you think some of those guys dropped?
Probably off-the-field issues or it back again, back team needs. Team needs probably wasn't as high at the defensive end position, probably like in the past. So Evan Bryant, it caused a ripple effect for him. He went later in the draft, but like you said earlier, Carolina Panthers really, really was going to capitalize on Evan Bryant's dropping down to the second round. Evan Bryant's probably going to do big things, especially with Julius Peppers kind of waiting to see what he's going to do.
Yeah, I agree with Fresh Dez. Speaking in an example, Malaluga, he's a middle linebacker. You know, if a team just and now basically looks like to me, basically that's all he can play, middle linebacker. And, you know, like his other two linebackers is Cushing and Matthews. Those two linebackers, they can rush the passer, they can drop back in coverage, they do a lot of things. They're good tacklers, so they meant more to a team than just one position player. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think Clay Matthews, he's going to be more like that rush outside linebacker, a hybrid defensive end type player. But when you think about defensive ends now, you had a couple of defensive ends to go that wasn't necessarily projected as high as Everett Brown, who some people thought he might have been the first or second one. You got Tyson Jackson. You got Aaron Maven, who was out of Penn State there, and you had Robert Ayers all go before him. You might have had one or two more to go before him.
Yeah, you did. Larry English went to the Chargers. I never heard of Larry English out of Northern Illinois. Maybe you heard of him being up there in Chicago.
Yeah, I think he's more of like that hybrid linebacker, defensive end also. But to tell me that all those guys are better than Everett Brown, I just can't see it, because in the 20-some games that he started, he averaged almost one sack per game.
Mm-hmm. And I was glad he left school, too, because I didn't want to see him chasing my son this season. Boy, and I'm glad he left. Thank you, Evan.
All right, well, you know what? That's a good one. Go ahead and fill America in on who your son is.
Well, America, my son is a Dominique Davis, quarterback of Boston College. So, and again, I thank you, Everett, you leaving early. Aaron Curry, all you guys, I'm so glad to see you guys gone, so you won't be chasing. I won't, you know, my wife, she can be stress-free at the games. You know, I'm glad to see you guys go. Well, have a good career in the NFL, and I wish you well.
The thing about it, Scudder, you know, all of those players are gone, but he has to run for his life every day with Herzlick up there.
Right. And you know, him and Mark are good friends, too. They stay on a friendly base, so Mark kind of take it easy on them in practice.
Well, I'm pretty glad to hear that. But, you know, well, I don't know, because they were sitting the quarterback out there. Last year, they took some hits.
Right.
But usually the quarterback don't get hit, but I guess up in Boston College, that's a different story.
Right, but under this new regime, they letting him stay back and pass now. They ain't sending him out on too many runs. If he runs, it's on his own.
Now, going back to the NFL draft, everybody pretty much figured Braylon Edwards would get traded, Anquan Boldin had a chance to get traded, and Julius Peppers would get traded also in some kind of draft day deal. Neither one of these three players got traded. Do you think it was because they was asking too much for them, or the team just felt like, you know what, I could do this in the draft without going out and getting these veterans?
Too much money. Both. Too much money, and they probably could go out and get those players in the draft. And Julius Peppers is not the youngest guy anymore. So with the economy being down, like you said earlier, Cleveland Browns, they don't want to spend all that money on a number one draft pick. Too much money, Dez. If it's affecting the NFL teams now, it's been affecting the fans. Ticket prices going up. I just heard the other day the Yankees are not even selling out their new stadium. That's embarrassing. And ticket prices are going to go up next year at Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because everybody doesn't look at the multi-million or billion-dollar industry of sports as being affected by the recession. But let me be the first one to tell you, it's going to affect a whole lot of things that's going on in the pro sports, especially with the fans. When we come back, Fresh, you mentioned something last week about the Atlanta Falcons
that came true,
and I want to see what your thoughts on it right now. See if you're still going to hold to your claim of the Atlanta Falcons possibly going to the Super Bowl because of this move. Listen to Sports and Light Conduct. If you want to get in on the conversation, you can dial 1-888-346-9144. We'll be right back with you in a few minutes.
beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
We live in a time of economic uncertainty. Gas prices are up. Healthcare costs are up, and sometimes the market is down. But studies have shown that by mastering your own energy, you can still live a life of prosperity. Listen to Master Your Energy, Master Your Life with your host, Siobhan Moran. Siobhan will show you how to overcome the negative energy of recessionary headlines and give you tools to deflect the harmful effects of subtle negative energy. Master Your Energy, Master Your Life. Friday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Seventh Wave Network.
The Interstate Sportsman Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network with hunting and fishing info news, talking about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and getting more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk Friday mornings at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 Eastern, for the Interstate Sportsman on the Voice America channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Sportsmanlike Conduct with Des Clark, Paul Fresh Clark, and Lester Scudder Davis. If you want in on the action, please call into the show at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to Sportsmanlike Conduct.
Sportsmanlike Conduct, right back at you with no interruption. Let's get back into it. Fresh, you made a prediction last week. You said if the Atlanta Falcons got a good tight end in the draft, that could put them over the hump and maybe get them into the Super Bowl or get into the conversation of being a Super Bowl contender. Last week, they acquired the best tight end in NFL history, and he probably still got a good 2-3 more years left in him. Does that put them in the Super Bowl conversation now? Will you hold to it?
I will hold to it, and it does put them in the Super Bowl conversation. But just because I predicted this, do not call me. Please do not call me. I'm not giving out any lotto numbers this evening. But Tony Gonzalez is my man, 50 grand. Tony Gonzalez, he solidifies them as a number one or the top, one of the top offenses in the NFC this year because Matt Ryan, with all the speed on the outside, the superb running game, and with them losing the big tight end to the Tennessee Titans, Tony Gonzalez comes in, gives them that threat over the middle of the field to keep those safeties honest. I really like Atlanta's chances. And believe it or not, Atlanta, they only went and got one offensive player in the draft, and that was an offensive tackle in the fifth round, and Garrett Reynolds from North Carolina. They went and got all defense, cornerbacks, safeties, defensive tackles with the first pick. Jerry Pierre, first-round draft pick out of Mississippi, kid 6'2", 300 pounds. I really believe that Atlanta attacked the draft, attacked their needs with Tony Gonzalez in the middle of that field. I look for Atlanta to do big things.
Then that kind of answered my next question for you. The defensive side of the ball, everybody know that Matt Ryan, he stepped up last year, made those receivers down there better because for a while everybody's saying that they need better receivers, but once they got Matt Ryan in there, he made them better. The good running game, they got a good offensive tackle last year, who's starting down there. They drafted in the first round. But the defense will have to play better in order for them to step up. So what I'm hearing for you is that they addressed that need in the draft, so therefore you're going to hold very solid to your pick.
Right. 6 out of 7 picks went to defense. I mean, the first pick was a defensive tackle. The second pick was the safety William Moore from Missouri. The third pick, a cornerback. I mean, they go on and on. Atlanta really attacked their defensive needs. And Atlanta fans should be proud of what the GM did in the offseason through the draft.
All right, tell me this. Michael Crabtree, was he the best available player in the draft this year? And if he was, why did he fall to number 10?
I think he was the best available receiver in the draft, but I think off-field problems caused Michael Crabtree. Some of the way he handled a couple interviews might have caused him to drop down in the draft. Dez, I can remember when you got drafted, the NFL sent a guy. That guy, I didn't know who he was. That guy interviewed me. He wanted to drive around Lakeland, Florida, and interview each and every person that knew you or have ever came in contact with you. And I believe they did the same thing with Michael Crabtree. And it just probably opened up a lot of unhealed wounds in his community and where he's from.
So they gave him the term diva, but that's not a bad thing for a receiver. That's kind of like if you're going to be a good you almost have to be a diva. So I don't see why he would have dropped to number 10 besides Oakland Raiders making – the draft choice that they made. Now, he was probably one of the best picks of the first round, but was he the best pick of the first round, Scudder?
No. Now, this is my personal opinion. I think Percy Harvin, Lord have mercy, Percy.
Oh, Lord,
Scudder. He was the steal of the draft. How Minnesota got hold of him, we'll never know. But let me tell you something. Now, I've been watching this kid for the last 3 years since he came to Florida. And everybody in America, you've been watching him too. Every time he touched the ball, you had to hold your breath because you just knew something exciting was going to happen, and it did. This guy averaged every time he touched the ball over 8 yards. This was a home run hitter every time he swung the bat. He's going to really – if he stays healthy, and I hate to say this for you guys in Chicago, tell Urlacher – and our Lance and all of them to get their track shoes on when y'all play this kid now, because he's slippery, he's hard to tackle, he's a little physical, but, you know, sometimes he get a little nicked up. But if he stay healthy, watch out, America.
So you don't have any issue with his off-field decisions leading up to the draft, smoking pot?
That was disappointing, and I'm praying that he can get that straightened out, because he got an opportunity to take care of not only himself but his family, and I'd hate to see him blow that opportunity. So hopefully he can – we'll keep him in prayer that he get that straightened out, and you know, do it for his family. If you don't want to do it, do it for your family. I heard he had a nice, supportive family. And so, Percy, if you're listening, do it for your family, man. Get yourself straight, man, and play ball. You're a good player, and look out for your family, man.
Percy, what you got for the best picks of the first round?
Oh, man, it was so many of them. But I'm going back with the Bills with the defensive end from Penn State, Aaron Maven. Because with the Bills losing their defensive end, they went and attacked it as they should have and got their defensive line ready. Because if you go back to the first tape, I told you, get your popcorn ready. So the Bills did address their defensive needs. So, T.O., I got my popcorn ready, my butter, my salt, and I'm ready, Dez.
All right. This is where I'm going to go with this. Jacksonville. What I thought they needed was a receiver, a defensive tackle, and a DB to round out their draft. What they did, they went out and got Eugene Moore, who no one thought would drop to him. Great value for the second pick in the second round, number 39. Eben Britton, who was a first round, he was graded at first round. They went and got him. So now they got two bookend tackles for the next 10 to 12 years if both of them stay healthy. And then what did they do in the third round? They went and got a defensive tackle, second pick in the third round, a DB, Derek Cox. The fifth pick, fourth round, they went and got their receiver, Mike Thomas, out of Arizona. This dude is one of the fastest dudes to come out this year playing receiver. Ran a 4.3. People don't hear about him on the East Coast because he played at Arizona, but me playing with Lance Briggs, he talked about this guy all the time, so I kind of learned about him just by being with Lance Briggs. I think they did the best job in the draft. They got great value, and then they filled every need that they had to fill for their football team. So when you talk about the best drafts, I got to go with Jacksonville.
I didn't even look at it like that. Jacksonville did a lot of good things. When you're right, the two bookend tackles, oh, man, the running back should be licking their chops to run behind two bookend tackles in Jacksonville. But, Dez, I like the Detroit Lions. And I like the Detroit Lions because Detroit has my steal of the draft. The wide receiver from Penn State, Derek Williams, they got him in the third round. Derek Williams, coming out of high school, was the player of the year. And he not only did it week in and week out with Penn State, but I think he's going to come in the league. They questioned his 40 time. He ran a 4.6 in the draft. But again, like Lester, he's all over Percy Harvin, and you know I don't see why you can't be over Percy Harvin. But sometimes you just got to grade a guy on what he did on the field. And Derrick Williams, what he did on the field cannot be replaced. This guy came to play week in, week out. He's a 4-year starter for the Penn State Lions. I just like what he can do for Detroit Lions. And with Matthew Stafford coming in, I don't know when he's going to play, but we know he's going to play. If Dante Culpepper doesn't get his stuff together, Matthew Stafford is going to play. But I like what Detroit Lions did in the draft.
Real quick, Mr. Irrelevant from South Carolina, the kicker Ryan Sukup. Last year it was David Vibor, linebacker. He actually started one game for the Rams last year and played in the 8. Same success for this year's Mr. Irrelevant?
I don't know. The book's still out. But let me say this quickly, Dave. I'm disappointed. Out of 256 picks and all the GMs know what me, Scudder, your brother from another mother, brings to the table, and nobody picked me. I mean, I'm disappointed, man.
Man, they had you at 257.
Right. Oh, Lord.
I think they just ran out of picks.
I'll keep trying next time.
Guys, it's been a good show, just like all the shows. And I'm going to keep saying it. Before we go, you are listening to the best internet, radio, or TV sports show that comes on Tuesday at 5 o'clock. If you don't believe us, keep listening. We're going to make you into a believer. Because you know why? I got the best co-host in the game, Paul Fresh Clark, Lester Scudder Davis, and I'm your host, Dez Clark, and you just listen to Sportsmanlike Conduct.
Thanks again for joining us on this week's edition of Sportsmanlike Conduct. Be sure to come back next Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.